Well, this evening we're going to look at questions and answers 23 through 26 of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Again, they're found on page 969 in the back of the hymnal. 969. Questions 23 through 26. Question 23, what offices does Christ execute as our Redeemer? Christ as our Redeemer executes the offices of a prophet, of a priest, and of a king, both in his estate of humiliation and exaltation. How does Christ execute the office of a prophet? Christ execute the office of a prophet in revealing to us by his word and spirit the will of God for our salvation. How does Christ execute the office of a priest? Christ executes the office of a priest in his once offering up of himself a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice and reconcile us to God, and in making continual intercession for us. How does Christ execute the office of a king? Christ executes the office of a king in subduing us to himself, in ruling and defending us, and in restraining and conquering all his and our enemies. And you may wonder why I went ahead and read several questions and answers. It's because I've actually used these catechism lessons five times in the last 4 years, so I hope a summary will do. Well, the catechism reminds us that Christ is our perfect Redeemer, and he accomplishes his redemptive work through the three offices of a prophet, a priest, and a king. As a prophet, he is the full and final revelation of God. In other words, he makes God known fully and finally to God's people. As a priest, he offers himself as the perfect once-for-all sacrifice to satisfy divine justice. And as our high priest, he continues to intercede on our behalf. We have an intercessor in heaven in the throne room on our behalf. And as our king, he's sovereign. He reigns in power over creation, and he reigns in his church through grace. And in power, he subdues ultimately all of his enemies and ours. Now, apart from churches that are distinctly confessional, to speak of Christ as a prophet, priest, and king isn't super common, and that's super unfortunate because it's rich language that wonderfully reflects Scripture and the contours of redemptive history. When God made Adam in his image, he made him unique. He was created with everything needed to live in a covenant relationship with God, and to do so as a prophet and a priest and a king. In the garden, Adam possessed a true knowledge of God, and he was to guard that truth as a prophet. As a priest, Adam had access to God, and every part of Adam's life was an act of worship. He was to love and serve God as a priest. And as God's kingly representative, Adam was to take dominion and rule over the creation and essentially expand Eden. When Adam sinned, not only was the image of God shattered in him, but so was his capacity to serve God as a prophet and a priest and a king. But God's redemptive plan wouldn't be thwarted. And so when God raised up a people in the Old Testament, their relationship to their covenant God was mediated through those three offices: prophets, priests, and kings. In fact, it's impossible to think of Israel's history apart from what God did through their prophets and priests and kings. Now, it's certainly true that all the Old Testament prophets and priests and kings were imperfect fallen men, but the fact that these men served imperfectly in these offices necessarily pointed to the need for a greater prophet than Israel had ever known, and a greater priest than Israel had ever known, and a greater king than Israel had ever known. And when Christ came as our perfect Redeemer, he did something amazing. He united these three offices again as our prophet, priest, and king. What the first Adam lost, Christ came to restore and fulfill as the last Adam. And the implications of this are profound. I want to mention two of them. First, something I've said before, and this is important to remember. This is one of those doctrines that remind us that the Old Testament had a goal. It was moving history in a particular direction. Adam, and more specifically, the prophets and the priests and kings, were all something like a photo negative. That when developed into high definition color, you're able to recognize were actually pictures of Christ. But the second, and I think most significant implication of this helpful teaching, is that the church doesn't need prophets because we have Jesus and His Word. We don't need priests to intercede for us because we have Jesus. And the church doesn't need kings or popes, for that matter, because we have Jesus. He's our prophet, our priest, our king, and our perfect redeemer. Well, let's continue praising the Lord, standing to sing number 377.